This occasion of the passing of another year, we could have chosen many psalms that speak of sober and wonderful truths that we could meditate upon at this time. Many Christian homes at the time of the passing of another year have the custom of reading together Psalm 90. There are many thoughts that could occupy our minds and hearts at this time. We could think of the passage of time and of our own life. We could think of the eternity of our God. We could meditate upon the brevity of our life here on earth. We could give thanks to God for another year of his faithfulness and mercy in our lives. Psalm 103 contains many beautiful thoughts that are very appropriate at this worship service tonight. Throughout the psalm, this is a psalm of praise and thanks to God. Its theme is the everlasting mercy of God. Throughout the psalm, the psalmist utters not a single word of complaint. He blesses God. He does that out of the depths of his being. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We don't know precisely the occasion or even definitely who the human author was of this psalm. It could have been composed in various different circumstances of his life. These are suggested by the psalm. It could have been composed at the time when the psalmist fell into deep sin. And when he was brought to repentance and he experienced the riches of God's mercy. It could have been composed, as suggested by verse 3, at a time when the psalmist experienced a grievous illness in his life, and God, in his great mercy, delivered him from that illness. It could have been composed at the time when God gave a great deliverance from the enemy. It could have been composed, and that's especially our focus tonight, it could have been composed by the inspired psalmist when he realized that his life was passing away and his hope was in the mercy of God. When God leads us through any one of these experiences, difficult experiences, those very difficult experiences become for us as the children of God the occasion when we learn the depths, the wonder, the faithfulness of God's mercy. And what a comfort that is. And so tonight we consider these verses from Psalm 103 under the theme, God's everlasting mercies. We consider, first of all, the wonder of his mercy. Secondly, how it is shown in our human weaknesses, and finally, that it is shown to those who fear him and keep his commandments. What a wonder is the mercy of God. Literally, mercy refers to tender compassion. God's mercy is his compassion towards his people in Christ Jesus. The blessed virtues of God, of love and grace and mercy, are very closely related and similar in meaning. We mine out of God's word the riches of each of these virtues when we distinguish them. The mercy of God is distinguished from his love and grace in that it is the virtue of God according to which he has compassion for his people in their troubles and in their sorrows. The whole idea of God's mercy implies that we are in sorrow and in trouble. And this is so very true for so much of our life. It is a veil of tears, full of trouble. And much of our sorrow and our trouble is due to our own sinfulness and foolishness. And God often has to chasten us because of that sin and foolishness. But in and through it all, he shows his mercy. What a glorious attribute of God that is. God is eternal in all of his attributes, and he is eternal and unchanging in his mercies. From everlasting to everlasting, he shows himself to us to be a God of mercy. He delights in mercy. Never does he change his attitude of compassion and mercy. The mercy of God is also that virtue of God according to which he desires and longs to deliver his people from their misery and to make them perfectly happy in himself. God's mercy is revealed in the most glorious way, in the wonder of his forgiveness of our sin. Psalm 103 has much to say about that. He forgives our sin. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquity and healeth all thy diseases. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We can look back at 2014, a good thing to do, and we can consider our sins, the many times when we have failed, how far short we have fallen from keeping the commandments of God perfectly in our lives. The best of us have but a small beginning of the new obedience. And we can be filled with thanksgiving to God as the psalmist was. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. If God in 2014 would have dealt with us according to our sins, then surely we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Then we would have been brought to ruin and judgment because of the greatness of our iniquity. But God, in his mercy, has forgiven our sins in Jesus Christ over and over and over again. He has brought us to repentance. He has given us sorrow of heart over our sins, and he has restored us again to his life and fellowship, favor and blessing. Oh, the wonder of God's mercy. The mercy of God is absolutely sovereign. The objects of that mercy are not worthy of that mercy. Because of our sins, repeatedly we have proven ourselves to be unworthy of the salvation that God has purchased for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The mercy of God is also the power of God, whereby he delivers us from our troubles. None of the virtues of God are mere feelings or emotions. And so God's mercy is not a powerless feeling, a feeling of helplessness of God, in that he is unable to deliver us from our misery. Again, in the past few weeks, we have experienced the suffering of one of the members of our congregation, and on Tuesday, he came to the end of his life and he was taken to glory. In the last few weeks, there were many times when we visited him and we stood by his deathbed with family members, witnessing his suffering and witnessing his decline. And though we felt pity, we also realize that there comes a time when man cannot help. There is nothing we could do to deliver him from his suffering and from the end of death that now has come. Not the best doctors in the world can finally deliver us from the diseases, the death that has come into the world because of the curse of sin. And it is in that circumstance that we contemplate the wonder of God's mercy. In his mercy, he has delivered us from the curse. The power of his mercy is so great that it delivers us from the judgment of death that we deserve. And it brings us into the eternal blessedness and glory of the presence of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonder that is. When God has pity on us in our sorrows and in our troubles, he delivers us finally from all our sorrows and troubles in the power of his mercy. That mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Our life is brief and is soon over. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. God has shown that mercy to us supremely in his Son, Jesus Christ. So great was the desire of God to reveal his mercy toward us, to deliver us from the sorrow of sin and death and hell, that he gave us in the greatness of his mercy his Son, Jesus Christ. He sacrificed himself to atone for the guilt and condemnation of our sin. He arose again and ascended into heaven, and by the power of his mercy, he delivers us finally from the sorrow of sin and death and hell. God's mercy is revealed to us, beloved, and that's the point of the psalmist, in our own human weakness. Our text speaks of the reality of that weakness. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. What a vivid description of the frailty of our human existence. And this is one of the things that must occupy our mind tonight as we witness the passing away of another year in this world and another year of our life. And for some, that's bringing us, really for all, that is bringing us ever closer to the end of our life. Without God's mercy, the reality of that would lead us to absolute despair and hopelessness. The child of God who knows the blessedness of God's mercy doesn't have to be afraid of being old. He doesn't have to despair when he experiences the reality of the decline of his human body, created out of the dust of the earth. And we hear God's word. We're sober about the reality of the frailty of our life. It's a good thought for us to consider at this time, at the end of another year. That then drives us to the blessed hope of God's everlasting mercy. We experience the depth, the wonder of his mercy in all of our afflictions. And we can face the awful, fearful enemy with the hope of God's mercy. The mercy of God transcends the brevity of our human existence. The mercy of God gives us strength in all of our weaknesses and in all of our frailty. The mercy of God, the everlasting mercy of God, gives us hope for eternity. That mercy continues after we die. That mercy will bring us to heavenly glory. It is the hope, not only for the years to come of our earthly existence, it is our everlasting hope. It is the mighty wonder of God that will deliver us finally from death and bring us to glory, where we will experience forever and ever the wonder of God's mercy as we behold that wonder in the face of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed comfort that truth is, beloved, for us. That brings us to the last question, the last point of the sermon, upon whom that mercy is bestowed. And the psalmist speaks of that in four different ways in our text, all related to each other. It is upon them that fear him. It is upon those who keep his covenant. It is upon our children's children in the generations of God's covenant. It is upon those who keep his commandments. None of these truths set forth a condition that is the basis for the continuation of God's mercy, for then it could never be said that God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. God has established his covenant with us. He calls us to live in the fear of his name, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, our mind, and strength. He calls us out of this ungodly world in order that we might be devoted and consecrated to him. It is only by his grace that we keep his covenant. God shows his mercy towards those that fear him. That fear of God is not natural, arising from our sinful nature. The fear of God is worked in our hearts by the power of God's grace in our lives. The psalmist tells us that it is in the way of fearing him that the child of God experiences the blessedness of God's mercy. To fear him means that we reverence him. We live in awe before his presence. We know and acknowledge him as the sovereign, almighty, perfectly holy and blessed God. That knowledge is not for us an occasion to sin, so that knowing that makes us careless in our life. But knowing the fear of God causes us to walk before him in humility, in faith, in trembling fear. The mercy of God is revealed to those who keep his commandments. The whole of apostate Christianity denies that truth. The teaching of much of apostate religion is the idea that God loves everyone. He doesn't care how his children live. It doesn't trouble him at all when those who call on his name live in daily impenitent sin, adultery, fornication, and all kinds of ungodliness. They still imagine that they can claim to be the objects of God's mercy. That's contrary to the fear of God. God works in the hearts of his children. He teaches them his commandments. He gives us grace to walk in those commandments. And in the way of keeping those commandments, we experience the blessed reality of the mercy of God. And then also this. He reveals his mercy to children's children. What a blessed reality that is. The reference is to the truth that God continues his covenant from generation to generation with believers and their children. We live in an ungodly world. Our children are born into that ungodly world. We fear and we tremble, for our children, except we know that God, in his mercy, will keep our children from generation to generation, according to the promises of his covenant. The mercy of God, that's the only hope that we have as people of God. And we consider the wonder of his unchanging mercy. Our hearts, our souls are filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And we join together with the angels of God in heaven, with all the creatures of God in all of his creation, that will finally show forth the glory of the name of the Lord our God. For this purpose, he has formed us to be his people. For this purpose, he has worked by his word and spirit into our hearts the fear of his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for the greatness of his everlasting mercy in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. our Father who art in heaven. As we experience again the reality of the changing of another year, we look back and we think of thy faithfulness and mercy. And we realize how our own life is declining and how it will soon be taken away. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy mercy toward us in Jesus Christ, the hope of our everlasting salvation. Amen.